This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. That was end of day fasting. Wa alaykum as-salam. Saving ourselves. Alhamdulillah, some energy. Alhamdulillah, today is the 9th day of the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Tonight is the 10th night, and tomorrow we will say that it's the 10th day. So time is now, this is where time just really picks up and starts to go a lot faster. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to slow ourselves down a little bit and to submit to Him in ibadah and acts of ibadah that are permitted and that He loves. Ameen. Today we continue on with our ninth juz, which is Surah Al-A'raf, as well as Surah Al-Anfal, inshallah. Actually, yeah, Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Al-Anfal, inshallah. We'll jump right to verse number 101 of Surah Al-A'raf, and this is a continuation to what we were talking about yesterday. The surah continues, and as I mentioned yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes through a number of different prophets. So He mentions the people of paradise and the people of hell, how they will call out to each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Nuh, Hud, Salih, Lut, Shu'aib, and now we're going to start with examples from the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. However, before we jump right into that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in verse number 101 and 102, and I want to cover a lot of verses, inshallah, today, so I'm just going to go through the English. Allah says, تِلْكَ الْقُرَى نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have narrated to you, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the stories of those societies, those nations that came before you. Surely their messengers, messengers came to them with clear proofs, but still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we'll take it to the back, to the beginning of the ayah. We have narrated to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the stories of the previous nations, the people that came before you. Surely their messengers came to them with clear proofs. So the prophets, the messengers that came before you, before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came with a clear scripture, clear advice, clear message to be conveyed and delivered to the people. But still, they would even what they had already denied. And this is how Allah's hearts of the disbelievers, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals the hearts of the non-believers. Now, a question came yesterday. I think it was an offer to ask this question. And I was supposed to mention this yesterday, and it's good that he asked it, because it reminded me to mention it again today. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals the hearts of the non-believers, the mushrikun, or the here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it, kafirin, you know, sealing of the hearts only comes after the person or the individual or the people themselves have chosen for their hearts to be sealed. What do I mean by this? That they have already chosen a way for themselves in life. They've chosen to reject Allah and reject His way and reject His signs. And because they've chosen to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they've made it firm, fixed within them, that this is what they've decided upon, and they choose to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals their hearts. Now, this is not for every non-believer. Some people say, well, how is it that people become guided afterwards? For those who are completely, like, they've just, and that is it. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Some people might say, but what if they want to change their mind later on in life? Allah knows that they wouldn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is to come, right? Our lives and everything that we are do or not going to do, say, not say, you know, buy, not buy, stuff like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows everything. It's already been written. And so for those who have chosen to seal their hearts and to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they will never come back to Allah, Allah's hearts, like the seal is there, it's put on them, and they are from those who have chosen to reject Allah, so He does not even allow them. And this is Allah's way of warning us. You know, we think of it like, why would Allah do that? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of warning us not to reject Him and to always turn to Him, seeking hope. We make mistakes, yes, we fall short, but to continue to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 102, we did not find most of them true to their covenant, rather we found most of them truly rebellious. Now this is what Allah is saying about the previous nations, that we found most of them not to follow the message that came to them from the messenger. Now if you take a moment in Muslim Ummah, is the majority of the Muslim Ummah following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or just claiming to be Muslim at the end of it? We'll leave it up to you to think about, right? Just think about it. When we look at those who are close to us, look at, you know, people who hopefully not the people we are surrounded by on a regular basis, because we try to surround ourselves with people who are good, who remind us of Allah, and we remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you just look at, you know, your neighborhood, you look at, you know, the Muslims in general in Milton, or in the GTA, or even within your own family and relatives, how many are Muslim and how many Muslim? That's something to ask ourselves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it about the previous nations, that the majority of the people, they didn't believe, or they weren't true to the message that came. And so there's a fine line there that we need to be careful of and make sure that we don't fall, you know, in that as well. Now we transition off into the story of Musa alayhi salam. And I'm going to go through this. This is verse number 100 to 156. So we'll try to fly through it as best as we possibly can, inshallah. This is the story of Musa alayhi salam. Okay. Which prophet was mentioned the most in the Quran that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hint, hint. Which mentioned the most in the Quran? Musa? Uncle? Musa? But the Quran was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa alayhi wa sallam mentioned the most. The Torah was revealed. Okay? But this is the Quran, not the Torah. Right? Okay, Musa alayhi salam, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the prophets spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he was known as Kalimullah. Okay, good, alhamdulillah. Musa alayhi salam's life has many stories in it that are relevant for our life, right? That are important for us. And you'll notice that when we look at our time, where we live right now currently, and the years that we're living through, if you speak to anyone about Moses, they know. They know who he is. And many of the faiths that are followed, right, the Abrahamic faiths, we call them Abrahamic faiths, but they link to Musa alayhi salam, the Torah, and Isa alayhi salam, the Injil, the Bible. And then, of course, we have, there's other faiths out there, but Moses, Musa alayhi salam, is well known, and his story is well known, right? And there's so much you can learn. And so it's really important for us to always try to focus on understanding more and more about the life of Musa alayhi salam as well, because it helps us as Muslims, but it helps us when interacting with non-Muslims. Okay, and we live in a society that we're surrounded by non-Muslims, so we should know something about them, you know, in order to be able to converse and interact, help guide them towards what is true. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says now, verse number 103, and we'll try to go through as many verses as we can until 156. He says, "After them, we sent Musa alayhi salam with our signs to Pharaoh, to the Fir'aun and his chiefs, but they wrongly or wrongfully rejected them. See what was the end of those, you know, those people who were corrupt. See the end of them. And Musa alayhi salam said, O Pharaoh, O Fir'aun, I am truly a messenger from the Lord of all worlds, obliged to say nothing about Allah except the truth. Indeed, I have come to you with clear proof from your Lord, so let the children of Israel go with me. Okay, a number of lessons, but one really important lesson here. Musa alayhi salam confronts Fir'aun, a tyrant ruler. He was the ruler, tyrant, but still the ruler. And he confronts him. Who was Musa alayhi salam? Someone who was raised technically without his mother, without his father. We could say he was raised in society as an orphan, right? If we were to think of it that way, because his mother basket or into, you know, something that went in the water. And then he was raised in the house of the Fir'aun, right? But Musa alayhi salam was not raised by his own parents. And so we see here that this man who was raised in the home of that tyrant ruler goes and confronts the ruler and confronts him while being someone who's technically a nobody in society. Despite in his house, he still is, he's known amongst the people, but he doesn't have any status, right? But he goes and he speaks directly to the leader. As Muslims, we sometimes become intimidated when speaking to someone of higher status. What society claims or society labels someone as higher in status. And what's really sad is that we also see that a lot of the time as Muslims, we take a back seat when meeting with people who are considered celebrities or considered well-known or considered, you know, leaders, and we give in to their ways. We give in to their way of life in order to show respect to them and be with them and sit with them. So let's take an example. Take the example of our Prime Minister. If Justin Trudeau came in and, you know, it's possible, right? He's come to Milton. In fact, usually during Ramadan is when politicians love to reach out to the Muslims. And it's annoying because at the same time, we want to enjoy our iftar and food in Ramadan. We're not really engaged in politics during the month of Ramadan. But if Trudeau comes and walks into the masjid, I'm pretty sure a lot of us, you know, despite being time for salah, a lot of brothers and sisters, you might even hear the iqamah, but people will be with him, entertaining him, seating him, doing things. And the salah may have already started. And I'm saying this not because it's speculation. I'm saying it because I've witnessed it actually happen. And I've witnessed it with Justin Trudeau as well, right? That Muslims gathering with him and it's time for salah, but the Muslims who are saying, oh, we're having iftar with him and we're supposed to be showing him or whoever it is our way of life. But we let go of the obligation of prayer in order to keep someone company. No. Show this person that we abandon even you in a respectful manner, of course, because we have to do that, right? We're supposed to respect whoever it is. That despite you being the leader of this country, we have to go submit to the one who created you. And we're going to do that while you stand and wait, or you sit and wait. You can eat, you can drink, you can, you know, just enjoy yourself, do whatever. But we are going to go and pray. And so as Muslims, we see, in addition to that, not only, you know, abandoning the prayer, entertain, or to you know, be with someone, we see that our values start to be dropped as well. Like we'll see ours going and shaking hands with him and taking pictures with him and, you know, people putting their hands around people who are not mahram for them, just for the sake of the pictures. Because, oh, these are famous people, we're meeting them. Why? We have values that are far above and beyond their values. And Musa alayhi salam is showing us that I'm going to go to you, and yes, you are the, and yes, you have respectful and raised me and looked after me, Musa alayhi salam, but still, I have a message from Allah and I need to convey it to you. And I'm going to tell it to you straight. Don't think that this didn't make like the blood of Fir'aun boil. It made his blood boil because he wanted people to consider him God, right? And he loved that no one could speak against him. But here Musa alayhi salam is going, I've been obliged to say nothing about Allah except the truth. It has nothing to do with you. You have to submit to Allah, right? So that's one of the most important lessons that we get from this story of Musa alayhi salam. Then the Fir'aun, he says to him, if you have come with a sign, then bring this sign, show us this sign, if you claim to be telling the truth. And so Musa alayhi salam, he takes his staff and he throws it on the ground. Staff, a stick, right? His walking stick. He takes that and he throws it on the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَلْقَى عَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيًّا فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he threw it to the ground and it became a thurban. Like not just the average snake, but a vicious snake. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he drew his hand, right? He had his hand like covered and he takes his hand out and it's shining white for everyone to see, shining, glowing. Now that's not normal. Anyone who looks at our hand, it's not glowing, right? But he pulls it out and it's glowing. So he's showing him these miracles. And then those advisors that are with the Fir'aun, with Pharaoh, the chiefs of the Pharaoh, of Pharaoh's people, they said, he is indeed a skilled magician. Like what he's doing, this is like next level magic. We've never seen something like this before. And he seeks to drive you on this land. So Fir'aun asked, what is it that you propose we do? How do you propose we counter this? These are the advisors of Fir'aun. So they advise him, they said, let him and his brother wait, and let's go to the neighboring, you know, villages and gather the best of the magicians that we can find, right? Bring every clever magician. And the magicians came to Fir'aun and they said, shall we receive something in return if we win? Like, what's the pay? We're going to invoice you for this, right? Don't think you're just going to get a service out of us. We want some recognition, right? So Fir'aun tells them, yes, you will certainly be who are closest to me. I will keep you close. I'll protect you, all of you, right? You don't have to worry about anything. I will always look after you. So basically, in this challenge with Musa alayhi salam, you don't have to worry about anything for the rest of your life. I'm going to take care of you, right? This is what the Fir'aun is saying. Then they ask, oh Musa, will you cast or shall you cast? Like, will you throw your spell first? Spell, they consider it a spell, right? Or shall we do this first? And so Musa alayhi salam says, you, go ahead, right? Show me what you got, right? He doesn't say, show me what you got, but he's like, you go first, right? So when they did, they cast their, you know, their magic trick to deceive the eyes of the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, stunning them, like, ooh, that's amazing, right? Everyone is like stunned, in awe. And they made a great display of magic. Then we inspired Musa, throw down your staff. And behold, it devoured the objects of their illusions. So Musa alayhi salam throws his staff down to the ground. And once again, it is that snake. And it devours everything, right? It basically eliminates everything that was there. But not only that, the scholars say that it proved to be the truth. Right? Not necessarily that it ate everything, but it proved that this was a real snake and that those are just ropes. And they were just, you know, doing an illusion. This was real. This is an actual wooden staff that when thrown to the ground, transformed into a vicious snake. So the truth prevailed and the illusions failed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 118. So Fir'aun and his people were defeated right there and put to shame, and the magicians fell down prostrating. To who? Fell down prostrating in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of what Musa alayhi salam had displayed. They declared, "We now believe in the Lord of all the worlds. We don't believe in Fir'aun anymore. We now believe in Allah, the Lord of Musa and Harun." Okay, the Lord of Musa and Harun, they were brothers. Fir'aun threatened, "How dare you believe in them before I give you permission to do so? This must be a conspiracy that you all have devised in the city to drive out its people, but soon you will see." So Fir'aun is like, "How dare you turn against me without my permission?" Like, look at how controlling this, you know, person was. "I will certainly cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides. Then crucify every single one of you." So their initial punishment, if the right hand was cut off, the left foot was cut off as well. If it was the left hand, the right foot. So opposite limbs were cut off. And then he would crucify them. This is what he's saying. They responded, "Surely to our Lord, we will all return. No fear. This is the truth. Sorry, Fir'aun, but when you witness the truth, nothing else matters." Right? You can put us through whatever torture you want. And this reminds us of the conviction of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And it goes to the very thing that I was saying before. When you're with a leader, it doesn't matter. My conviction is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Welcome, jazakumullahu khairan for coming, you know, to the masjid. As a non-Muslim, thanks for coming to the masjid, right? We appreciate your visit, but it's time for us to pray. Or if we're gathering in someone's home or a place, you know, it's time to pray. It's time to pray, right? We go and we pray. Sorry, our conviction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than that of any human being. Verse number 131, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "In times of adversity, they said, this is what we deserve. But in times of adversity, they blamed it on Musa alayhi salam and those that were with him. Surely all is destined by Allah, yet most of them did not know." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fast forwards now, and he's showing when Musa alayhi salam, you know, the people go, and then there was a plague that affected the people. So Allah says in verse number 133, "So we plagued them with floods, with locusts, with lice, with frogs, with blood, all as clear signs, but they persisted in arrogance and were a wicked people." And this point I really want to bring up because it's 2022 and we are post-COVID-19. When I say post-COVID-19, I mean it's after 2019 when COVID first came around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove it from us. I mean, Allah says, "We plagued them with floods." Flood is not easy for us to bear. You lose your home, you lose lives, you lose so much, you lose your transportation, you lose your job, you lose your livelihood, you lose electricity, you lose crops, you lose food, you lose everything when it floods. He plagued them with floods, with locusts, right? It's not pleasant. They come and they eat all of your crops. With lice, not easy to bear. It's difficult. It's harming you. You don't feel comfortable, and everyone has it. Frogs. Can you just imagine how annoying that is, you know, to have frogs? It's nice when you see one or two frogs. I remember when I was staying, I spent a night just outside of Kruger National Park in South Africa, which is, what was the place? Nelspruit. We spent the night in Nelspruit just before going into the national park. The national park, Kruger National Park, if you don't know what it is, just Google it, right? Go on YouTube, type in Kruger, K-R-U-G-P-R. Kruger National Park is a national park that is basically like, you know, in your mind when you think of Africa and how we were raised to think of Africa, like the jungle, right? And just desert and stuff like that. That's what it is. You are now in the territory of the animals. So you are prey to be hunted by the animals. Okay, so we were going into the park the following day. But that night before going in, we stopped and we stayed in this nice... But outside the hotel, there was this pond and these huge frogs, like huge, huge frogs. And all night long, nonstop, like that sound, literally nonstop, all night long. And I was just like, subhanAllah, when we got there, the first thing, I open the window, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That I was enjoying it. And then 5 minutes later, I'm like, the wind curtains, I'm like trying to, like, this sound is so, can you imagine being plagued with frogs and they're jumping everywhere and, you know, disease and stuff like that, subhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they plagued them with blood as well. Like, we just went through COVID-19. And one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these, you know, pandemics, if that's what we want to call it, because that's what it was, is for us to turn back to Allah. Like, remember Allah, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just the Muslims, but the whole world. And I remember a non-Muslim, I think I shared this with you on the first or second night of Ramadan. I don't remember if it was you or another group. A Muslim nurse or orderly in the hospital when my mom had surgery a few months, he was saying, he's like, this is a sign for us to wake up. He's like, you Muslims know exactly what we're talking about. He's not Muslim, but he was like, this COVID-19 was a sign for human beings to wake up. And he says, I work here in the hospital and I realized human beings failed this test of God because we didn't wake up. We didn't wake up. We turned away from God instead of turning to God. This is what he was saying. And it's so true. We as Muslims, alhamdulillah, many of us, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we also see that many people immediately were like, for everything to be shut. Now, yes, alhamdulillah, we took certain steps that were needed, closing of the masajid, and we continued to have prayers, right? So we didn't just close masajid. The imams and, you know, certain people, board members, whatever, employees, every masjid is different, we're still able to come and to pray and to continue upholding the prayers within the masjid. Okay, but put that aside, there were many who said, we can't deal with this. No, no, enough. And just abandoned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lost hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not the way of Allah. That's not what we're meant to do. We should have realized that now is the time for us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Him more, to spend the nights in ibadah, to make lots and lots of du'a. But it turned into a big relaxing party. Everyone was bored. People were complaining they're bored. Right? We don't know what to do anymore. We've done everything. There's nothing more to do. And I remember I visited, you know, our brother, subhanAllah. Brother Miraj, for those that don't know, you probably remember we made lots and lots of dua for him, especially in the Jummah khutbahs. Right? Brother Miraj was in the hospital. And at a time when COVID hit, and it was very difficult, subhanAllah, family could not visit. It was tough at times. And he went through a really, really low stage of health. But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back with, you know, back to the masjid. Just came back from Umrah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. And strong, alhamdulillah. And Brother Miraj, you don't know, and I'll tell you. There was a night you were unconscious and the nurses called me and they said, you better come and pray, because I came quite a few days, you were in the ICU. They called me, they said, we're going to transfer him to Oakville, but we don't think he's going to survive. So you better come and pray for him. And I came and the paramedics were standing outside of your door in the ICU. And they were waiting for me to come because I told them I'll be there in 15 minutes. And I drove from my home to the hospital. This was like maybe midnight, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And subhanAllah, I went into the room and just like I would do before you were, you know, in that condition, stand next to you, recite some Quran and make dua. And the paramedics waited and the head nurse, she told them, wait, the imam is coming to pray. And subhanAllah, after that, I stepped out and the paramedics went in and they transferred you. And I really felt like, subhanAllah, I've seen so many people in ICU and they never come out of that state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took you from that to bring you right back to the masjid with us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you to do something good for this deen. Remember us in your dua. the very least that you do, just make dua for every single one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah and khair and goodness in your life and in your family. And so, you know, these are examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us. You know, you get tested. And I would go into the same ICU, into other rooms, just next to where Brother Miraj was. Other rooms. And the nurses were holding the hands of even our Muslim brothers who were dying of COVID-19. And I remember one nurse came to me and she says, today I held the hand of two Muslims that passed away. So Muslim sister, she comes here, her husband comes with us. They came for Hajj years ago. She says, today I held the hand of two Muslims that passed away of COVID-19. And their families are not with them. Because it was COVID-19. But did we realize the importance of family throughout that test? We did at the time, but now that we're past it, do we still remember how it was? That we longed for our families. We longed for the masjid. We longed to be with the community. We longed to stand in salah shoulder to shoulder. You remember the first Jum'ah where we prayed shoulder to shoulder? It was like everyone was in tears. It was like strange after almost 2 years of standing shoulder to shoulder. Allahu Akbar. And we forgot. Automatically, like a couple of days, a couple of weeks go by, we forget. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. That He sent so much hardship to these people. And still, at times of ease, it's us, we deserve this. And in times of hardship, oh Musa, this is because we followed you. And now look, this is what Allah is bringing us. Because you told us to follow Allah, look, Allah is putting us through difficulty. What? When Allah puts us through difficulty, it makes us better. It makes us stronger. It brings us, and it's supposed to, have that long-term effect on us. But it's us that turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll fast forward, inshallah. Verse number 135, but as soon as we went from them, until they met their inevitable fate, they broke their promise. So we inflicted punishment upon them, drowning them in the sea and denying our signs, for denying our signs and being heedless of them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, continues with the story of Musa alayhi salam. You know, they went away to the other side of the water, and the people used to worship idols. And so the people that went with Musa alayhi salam from Bani Israel, they said, have an idol as well so that we can worship, we can remember Allah. And he was like, what's wrong with you people? Like, this is what I'm taking from, and you're going right back to it. And so he left for 30 days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extended it, right, to 40 days. Musa alayhi salam went and got what we know as the commandments, right? This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to live, rules of life. And he left Harun alayhi salam in charge. And when he came back, you know, or I should say, as he was gone, the people asked, you know, Harun, like, we need something to worship. And they put pressure on him. And the more he resisted, the more they threatened him. And they were going to kill him, attack him and kill him. And so he let them do it. And what they did was they took their jewelry, they melted their jewelry, and they made a hollow cow to worship the cow, right? And this cow, when they made it, they're like, well, it's just a statue. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the wind. You know, when you take a bottle, I was supposed to bring an empty bottle, and you mouth, and you blow on the top. Have you ever done that? You blow on the top and it goes, but you hear like a sound, right? So they heard that. So the wind is blowing through this hollow structure or sculpture of a cow, and they hear, and it sounds like the cow. Alive, like, oh, the cow is alive. Look, we made a statue, we made a god. And they were worshiping this. Musa alayhi salam comes back and he sees this. He grabs Harun. Harun had long hair and a beard. Grabs him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, grabs him by his hair, pulled him, drags him. What did you do? How come you let the people do this? He says, if you only knew, they were going to attack and kill me. I had no choice. So Musa alayhi salam, like, he dropped what he came with, his scripture, and he ran after his brother. And now he has this scripture to show the people and to convey this message to them that, you know, this is the message that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We wrote for him on the tablets the fundamentals of everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And we commanded, hold to this firmly and ask your people to take the best of it. I will soon show all of you the home of the rebellious. Those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reject the scripture that was sent to him, they would be destroyed. We'll fast forward, inshallah. We'll go to verse number 180, inshallah. Verse number 180. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about his beautiful names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has the most beautiful names. So call upon him by them and keep away from those who abuse his names. They will be punished for what they used to do. This is why every Friday, it's been over a year now, we're trying to go through all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using his names. But if we don't know the names of Allah, and we don't know what they really mean, how are we going to? Like if you're sick, which name of Allah do you use? If you are in debt and you need to pay off some debt, which name of Allah do you use? If you are scared, anxious, you know, you fear failing an exam, for example, which name of Allah do you use? Right? If you, you know, you want a promotion, or you know, you're looking forward to something, or you want to get married, or whatever it is in life, there's a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can use. The question is, which one do we use? And so call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using his names. Whichever of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is befitting in that moment. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Then he says, keep away from those who abuse his names. Abusing his names in many different ways. First of all, some people reject the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain names and attributes. Right? More so the attributes than the names. In addition to that, some people just don't care. We don't care that Allah has more names. Allah has 99 names, really? Now there are more, of course, when we look through what descriptions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses for himself within the Quran. Well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٌ وَتِسْعُونَ إِسْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever knows them has entered into paradise. What we mean by knowing is understanding them, implementing them, using them, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by them, believing in them, and so on and so forth. Can't just be like, okay, Allah's 99 names, I'm going to open the cover of the Mus'haf and see the 99 names and memorize them, or listen to a nasheed, right? How does the nasheed go? I don't remember now, right? There's nasheeds made of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, you know, memorize them and khalas, that's it, we're from the people of paradise. No, you need to live by it. Believe in them. That you're going through something difficult, your rizq is affected, call upon Ar-Razzaq. Not like, oh, my rizq is affected, I need to go buy a lottery ticket and scratch it and see if I can get some money. No. Right? And that's what people do. SubhanAllah. I've been to gas stations, and it's weird because I know it just becomes the norm. When people work at a gas station, Muslims sometimes work at gas stations, you go in, and you finish pumping gas, you go inside to pay, you walk in, and sometimes, you know, I remember a few times I go in and there's brothers at the counter like, oh, assalamu alaikum, Shaykh, how are you? Good, alhamdulillah. Would you like a scratch ticket? I'm like, what? They're like, lottery ticket? Like, no, why are you offering me the lottery ticket? You know the lottery ticket is haram. Oh, sorry, Shaykh. And one brother, he went like this, oh, sorry, Shaykh. You know, we have to say it. It's part of our job. Our employer makes us ask every person that comes in. I'm like, okay, but don't ask me ever again, and don't ask any other Muslim ever again. And technically, talk with your employer and tell them, I can't ask people. You know, I can't encourage people to buy this because I don't believe in gambling, right? It's against my belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So have that conversation. And I know I spoke to one brother, you know, he was telling me, he told his employer, I'm sorry, I can't. You want to sell them? They're there to be sold. Another employee can like sell them to them. That's your business. But I can't sell it to someone and I can't ask people if they want to buy it. And he was like, okay, that's fine. I'll respect your belief, right? Alhamdulillah. So as Muslims, if we are firm upon what is true and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that, you'll notice that Allah will make things easy for us. But when we are shy about our deen, and then we just give in to what society wants, then we can't be like Musa alayhi salam. And Musa was so firm in his belief, just as a closing, you know, lesson for every single one of us. When the angel of death came to Musa alayhi salam, the angel of death, Musa alayhi salam, hits him in the face. And he damages the face and the eye of the angel of death. And the angel goes back and complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a story for another day. But the example here is that Musa alayhi salam was so like, no way, don't get in my way of worshiping Allah. Even the angel of death, no, you're going to stop me from worshiping Allah and get out of here. Right? So fixed in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is his priority in life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who are firm in our belief, who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of ease and at times of difficulty and hardship. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. I said that I would keep it between 30 and 40 minutes, so I'm doing that. I know some of you are like, no, keep going. It's not a thought of time yet, but we'll keep it at that to respect everyone's time and allow those that need to make it somewhere else to go. And tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we'll look after the verses that we can learn from in the 10th juz. But since you're all here, as a reminder, from tomorrow evening we start our Quran Quest quiz. The Quran Quest quiz is a quiz that we do every single Ramadan. We've been doing it even throughout the pandemic in the middle 10 days of Ramadan. So you'll need an Instagram account, or you'll need to basically just access the ICCM Instagram account, right? And you just click on the link that's in the bio. That's all you need to do. So there'll be a link every day at iftar. What? Okay, it'll be sent on the ICCM WhatsApp groups also. So the link will be reset every day at iftar time, starting tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, the first link will go out, okay? You have, from the time the link comes out till iftar the following day, to answer the 5 questions that are revealed. And it's like a Google Doc, right? So make sure you put in all your information so we know who you are. Every day, 5 questions will be revealed. And so in 10 days, you will research and answer 50 questions related to the Quran, okay? That can be found within the Quran as well. And in terms of prizes, alhamdulillah, the first prize will be air, inshallah. Second prize will be an e-bike that is sitting in my office. Those of you who have seen it, it's there. It's a nice e-bike. It's brand new, but open box. So because it's open box, it's valued at $1,100, but it's technically a $1,800 or $1,900 bicycle, e-bike. And the third prize will be an iPad mini, inshallah ta'ala. And then we might do a fourth and fifth prize, but we'll keep you. Actually, we are doing a fourth and fifth prize. Fourth and fifth prize will be some gift cards as well, right? $500 gift cards each. So look out for that, inshallah ta'ala, prizes, because we motivate you to take part in it. We want people to take part. But also it requires research. So if individuals want to do it, sometimes it's a little bit difficult for one person. So we encourage like the family, do it as a family, right? You can win a laptop as a family. You can bicycle as a family, you can win an iPad or even the gift cards as a family, inshallah. So look out for that at iftar time, a new link every day. And if you miss out and don't submit your answers before iftar the following day, you've lost out on your submission. No exceptions. Right? Not like, oh, I know you, David. Like, can you? No exceptions, inshallah. Okay? Is that it? Yeah, it's 10 days. 10 days, 5 questions each day, inshallah. So I hope that the people here, at least one of you will be from those who win, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.